Valian Dudich Lupescu is a Ukrainian-American author from Chicago who recently released a novel called Silence of Trees. It is her first novel. It is set in contemporary America as well as post-World War II Ukraine. And some listeners might recall the early days of this novel, which is a very popular seller on Amazon. Valian and I spoke a few weeks ago on Skype.
Thanks so much for joining us, Valian.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, this is your first novel, and you live in Chicago.
I do. I did live in Frankfurt, Germany for a few years, but Chicago is home.
Okay. Were you born in the States?
I was in Chicago.
That's where your roots are. Great. So, now, you've written the book called The Silence of Trees, and it's a story that's not known by most people, particularly in America. So, just tell us a little bit about the storyline.
Sure. The story begins with our heroine, Nadia. At the age of 17, she is living in a small village in Ukraine, western Ukraine, at the time when Ukraine is occupied by the Germans, but the Russians are coming back. So it's one of those changing fronts, the final change. This would have been in 44. And while their village has been fairly peaceful for a little while, that's all about to change and explode. But Nadia hears that there is a gypsy fortune teller camped outside her village, and all of the young girls sneak out and have their fortune told, and she wants to do the same, and her mother is absolutely against it. And, of course, Nadia, at that age, with dreams of what the future may hold, decides that she will sneak out in the middle of the night and have her fortune told. And so she does. But what she encounters is not what she expects. And when she returns home, she finds her family's house and barn on fire. And they're gone. She never sees them again. And she decides to flee west with the man that she loves. And soon he's also taken, and she's alone, travels to the displaced persons camps, well, first to the work camps, then to the DP camps in Germany, and eventually meets the man that she marries and moves to America and begins her life there. So much of the story flashes back and forth between the past and the present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story began while I was in graduate school at the Art Institute, and I was working on a nonfiction piece at the time about my grandparents' immigration. And it was a time for me to really ask them questions that I had wondered about for a long time. And I was surprised that they were very, very secretive and reluctant to talk about that time. And as I started talking with other people of that generation, it was something repeated again and again, that this isn't something that we talk about. And mm-hmm. and it was a mixture of fear for their families still that were left in Ukraine, and also some feelings of guilt for those that they left behind and the way their life was. And so I started collecting interviews and doing more research. And this was back in the days before the internet had so much available. Mm-hmm. And I realized at that time that the story I wanted to tell wasn't a nonfiction piece after all, that I wanted to really get you into the heart of some of these characters, of these people. And so I created a fictional story, but very much based on these stories that I was hearing. And I found it very, very interesting because so many of them had never spoken about this time. This was the first time that they did to me. And so when I started writing the novel, I wanted to capture the complexity of that character and tell those stories that had never been heard, precisely because they were so valuable and in danger of being lost forever.
So it's amazing how you did that, because people of that era, they don't want to talk about it, and there's shame, and there's probably fear, as you said, that there could be repercussions, or maybe it's kind of an ingrained fear. How did you get them to talk?
I guess I have a trusting face, but ever since I was little, I was the little kid in the corner listening, and when I would get on the bus, I'm the one that the people come and sit next to and tell their life story. So perhaps it's something they pick up on. I would never disclose any information that people didn't feel comfortable sharing. And many times they would say, I'm going to tell you this, but please don't record this, or please don't record this specific name or the specific village, because there was still a lot of fear. This was a time in history that people changed their names, both intentionally and unintentionally, coming to America or coming to another country. They tried to leave behind their past. And so they really were reluctant. And so there was a trust, I think, that I established with the people that I spoke with, my grandparents included. And so the story as it is, the events that happened to Nadia are fictional. This isn't any one thing or any collection of things that happened to my grandparents or to even people I know. But at the same time, it's very true because it is like what happened to all the people that I, to many of the people that I spoke with or read their accounts later, not just Ukrainian, but of the different Eastern European groups that went through World War II.
So was there a turning point that made you decide that you wanted to do a fictional after all?
I'd been sitting in a class. We had a guest speaker, Stuart Dybek, a Chicago writer of Polish descent. And he has written several really wonderful collections of short stories, one of which is The Coast of Chicago. And in his stories, he really captures the flavor of the ethnic neighborhood and characters that you can relate to that felt very real. And prior to that, I don't know. I felt as if I didn't have permission to write about these everyday people that I had grown up with. And then hearing him read and talk about it, I realized that that may be precisely the reason I should write these stories. And so, yes, it was Halloween, and I remember going home, and I wrote the first three chapters of the book that night. And
wow.
That was really the turning point. The characters just came to life, and I couldn't silence them, so I kept going.
Wow. Now, your book is called The Silence of Trees. Is there a particular reason you chose that title? Does it have any significance to anything?
Of course. But I can't spoil it and tell you exactly why. It has a lot of meaning. It's multifaceted. There are many different kinds of trees, both literal and figurative. In the book, there are the trees that Nadia sits beside when she's in the camps. There are the trees in America. There's the idea that the ancestors go into the trees when they pass away, and we bring in their leaves and bring in the greenery for Zeleni Sviata. So there are a lot of different trees in the book, and the title echoes all of those meanings.
You incorporate a lot of tradition, a lot of background. Nadia is very holds on to her Ukrainian heritage, as so many post-war immigrants to Canada, as well as obviously the United States, did. And you wove that in very nicely.
Thank you. It was very much a part of what I wanted to preserve. I think it reflected, it informed her character a great deal and reflected that time period. But at the same time, in writing this book, I wanted to honor those women, men and women of that time, but also to preserve some of these traditions. It's been interesting in recent days when I've met some of the newer immigrants to America that came over in the 90s and in recent times. And for many of them, the stories of the displaced person camps and some of the traditions that were held onto so strongly by Mike Baba and Yida have been lost or have not ever been learned. And so for many of them, as they read these traditions, they're surprised and they're learning. And there is a movement among the younger people in Ukraine right now to recapture some of those lost traditions.
That's great. Isn't it fabulous to know that your book has a part of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's also, the novel falls into a genre called magic realism. And it was a deliberate choice, too, as a literary device, to create a world that is real. It's certainly not fantasy. It's a realistic world, especially with the grim reality of World War II. But there are these magical elements, these superstitions, that these dreams that come true, or these little things that you see out of the corner of your eye, and that creates this idea of magic realism. it's two worlds, sort of the magic and the realistic coexisting. And Nadia's reality is very much this person caught in the threshold between the old world and all that she left behind in Ukraine and the new world and all that she's embracing in America. Mm-hmm. And so she's sort of on the threshold. And so magic realism as a literary device reflects that part of her character as well. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I felt, even as a second generation Ukrainian American woman, I felt very much connected to. I think it's the same in Canada where, in many parts of the United States, where the children of my generation, we grew up speaking Ukrainian, often before we spoke English, going to Ukrainian school, doing Ukrainian dancing, going to the Ukrainian church. And so there was this very big part of our identity and our lives that was Ukrainian. And then there was the other part, the more Western part, where we'd have our friends from school. And so it was also this idea of sort of standing in the threshold between those two worlds, which is part of what I found so fascinating about this character of Nadia.
You've been working on this book for a long time. Just before I turned on the record button here, you were saying that back in 2008, you started to promote your book even before the publisher had it. Tell us a little bit about that.
The book I started while I was still in graduate school, so in 1995. And it took me on and off about 10 years to write. I did a lot of research in the beginning as I was writing. And then I had three children, and so that put writing on hold and promoting on hold. And we moved to Germany and came back to America and moved back to Germany again. And so the last time when we were living in Germany in 2008, my youngest was finally sort of sleeping through the night, and I heard about this Amazon Breakthrough Novel Award, where unpublished manuscripts were submitted on Amazon, and then small sections of the manuscript were made available to readers to read and review. And at that time, we weren't sure how exactly the winners would be chosen, but there was this idea that you want to get as many votes as possible. And so I was thrilled and humbled by the support, especially from the Ukrainian people in Ukraine and in diaspora, who just galvanized and spread the word and read this particular section and voted positively. And it got quite a bit of media attention in the States and in Europe. And yes, Radio Free Europe gave me a call and we did an interview. And it was very exciting, the support that came up. And so after that, I got the attention of an agent actually through the contest and began down this road. For so many writers starting out, you have to do so much of the promotion yourself anyway, whether it's a small press or an independent press or even some of the larger publishing houses. So I've been trying to use the social networking sites. As you say, we met on Twitter, spreading the word that way. I've been able to get some really well-known reviewers to review the book that way and spread the word. And the sales, for example, on Amazon have been fantastic. It's just we live in a different world. And the Kindle sales, last month for August, we sold over 5,000 Kindle books of The Silence of Trees. And it was actually ranked 66th of all Kindle books at Amazon for one day, which was remarkable to think that many people are reading the story of Nadia and her life and the experiences of this woman.
Congratulations. That's great. Actually, I had an eye injury. And so when you sent me the book, I was having trouble reading the print copy, and I found a copy on Kobo. So that's great. Great to have this story being circulated like that. And thanks for coming on Nash Hollis and telling us about it. Hopefully we can get more readership for it yet. I personally think it's just a fabulous story and one that no one should miss out on. So thank you for writing it. Thank you for coming on to Nash Hollis and telling us about it. And hopefully there will be a sequel, a prequel, or more like it.
Thank you. Someday, yes, there's another book in the works for sure.
Awesome. Good luck with your next novel.
Thank you.
And I was speaking with Vanya Dudic-Lupescu, author of The Silence of Trees. And Vanya has very kindly offered 2 copies of her novel, The Silence of Trees, to Nash Holos, 2 lucky listeners, and she has offered to autograph them for you, personalized if you like. So email producer@nashholos.com and give me your name, phone number, and address so that Vanya knows where to send the book. And also, what edition of Nash Holos you heard the contest details on, whether it was on the broadcast on Sunday, October the 9th in Vancouver, or the podcast, or if it was the PCJ International Edition podcast, or if it was a live broadcast on the PCJ Radio Network on any of the partner stations. So that's what you need to do to enter on the email draw. You do need to get that into me by the end of October.